Let's try to get this up to 1,000 by the time Ralph is finished. How about that?
Yeah, no problem.
Ralph, you've got to be our hockey lead this year. Okay, thanks,
bye. Okay. I've got about the same amount of muscles, so I should be able to get something going. What's new? What's going on? Did you guys all run before you sat down to podcast?
I ran, Jack Walk.
I ran. It was a walk run. It was a run walk.
Jay tried to run, but he walked instead?
No.
No.
Jay was doing something. I thought he was filming a porno.
No, I was running.
No, Jay actually ran. I walked and ran, but to be fair, I was sick and I'm old. My intention was to run. I was building up for it, but then I got the flu and just couldn't do it.
Without the hat, you could be aerodynamic.
Yeah. I at one point I started running. I had to turn the hat around. It was slowing me down.
Oh, there you go. So what's new? What's going on?
Just watching the Padres and
how are they doing?
About as well as the Angels.
I doubt it. No one's doing as bad as the Angels.
But we're doing it. We're doing it a lot cheaper. We're losing a lot cheaper than the Angels are.
It's. I know it's like, what are we, 9 games in? But it's just awful. Awful. God, it's really painful to watch.
What's holding it back? Is it the Josh Hamilton project?
No, he's not doing that great, but I mean, Pujols didn't last year. But the problem is the starting rotation. The pitchers, none of the pitchers have made it out of the sixth inning.
Well, you lost Weaver, too.
Yeah, Weaver busted his elbow. So it's,
did someone charge him?
A toll on the bullpen.
Did someone charge the mound?
No. Stupid. I got to tell you, it kind of sucked that we lost Greinke. But now, in hindsight, I mean.
Wait, you're a Dodger fan, too?
No, he was on the Angels last year.
Oh, that's right. He went from Kansas City to the Angels to the Dodgers. Yeah.
And then it was like, so now they're paying how much for a pitcher they're not using for the next 8 weeks?
Well, here's my take on it. If you're 70 pounds less than the guy that's coming to the mound that you hit with the pitch, don't mouth off to him.
I guess so. I guess you're right.
Because we were watching baseball tonight. Not baseball tonight. I don't watch ESPN. I don't watch it. Major League Baseball's channel. And they had Larry Boa and... Was it someone else? Harold Reynolds, and they said, "Look, they go. He said something to him. He wasn't coming out to the mound until he said something to him. I mean, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but as I said, if you're 150 pounds and you got a guy that's built like a linebacker, don't mouth off to him."
Yeah.
Anyway, that was that. At least they actually started talking about the Padres for a while. Because usually we get like a little snippet, like, "Hey, the Padres lost again." But you still,
well,
last year I asked
right
about,
now I think the Angels fans right now are kind of hoping that maybe Bud Black loses his job and comes back as our pitching coach, because I don't think Mike Butcher is going to be lasting very long. I mean here's the thing, the players should know how to pitch, the players should know how to hit. I don't really know if there's that much a hitting or pitching coach can do. And then last year when the Angels were having trouble in March, the Angels ended up firing the hitting coach, Mickey Hatcher. And I think this year, Mike Butcher's in the same boat, even though, I mean, what can he possibly do to get these pitchers to do their job? At this level, I don't understand.
Well, the Padres have been changing their hitting coach, and I go, maybe it's the hitters.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the guys that you have who shouldn't be starting.
Well, I think it's a... Excuse me. Yeah.
But, you know, a coach can only do so much.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Josh Hamilton's in a slump right now. He hasn't been doing that great, but he's been slowly coming out of it. There isn't any coach out there that get Josh Hamilton to hit better. Josh Hamilton knows how to hit.
Well, maybe Josh Hamilton should have stayed in the hitter's park in Texas.
Yeah, he could have.
That, I mean, but, that, I mean the even, different park. I mean, that's a hitter's park in Texas. I mean, I root for Josh Hamilton just because he's, you know, he had some issues early in his career. I mean, he was out of baseball for, what, 5 years? He's from the Raleigh area. He was the number one pick, I think, at Tampa Bay. You know, it's well-known as history. So I root for someone like that. I like to see someone at least get a second chance. Once he gets a second chance, he takes advantage of it. But I don't know. I thought it was a big risk giving him that amount of money just because, especially being in the L.A. area, it's got to be more tempting than being in, I guess, Arlington, Texas.
He's got a handler.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, part of the contract is, and he's had this handler since he was in Texas. There's someone that's with him pretty much every waking moment of the day.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's in the contract as well, and I think that the Angels are flipping that bill too.
Oh wow.
That may be part of the contract.
Well, explains why he didn't sign with the Padres.
could be. It was a surprise to see him come, but it's funny watching him, because I mean we don't like the Texas fans at all, we don't like Texas at all. So I mean when you get someone like Josh Hamilton coming over, he's the guy that's been kicking the crap out of us for the last couple of years. It's a little strange seeing him in the Angels uniform. But every interview he's done, he's been really nice. He's had nothing but good things to say about the organization. I felt really bad when he went back to Texas. I don't know if you saw any of that or heard about any of that. The Angels played Texas last week, and they were booing him relentlessly, nonstop, as soon as he showed up. And it's not like he left Texas, but it wasn't like the Rangers were trying to go after him.
Right.
But
the fans don't see it that way. I mean, I know when Kevin Brown, after the 98 season, he left San Diego for Los Angeles. Los Angeles outbid themselves. I mean, Padres offered him $60 million. The Dodgers had the second highest bid. The Dodgers paid him $105 million. But I think what really ticked off fans in San Diego is when Kevin Brown said, he goes, I didn't leave for the money. I wanted to be – his home was in Atlanta. He left San Diego for Los Angeles, and his argument was, I wanted to be closer to home.
So, I bet you that technically Los Angeles is farther.
Yeah, but see, LAX is probably quicker to get to Atlanta.
But so. That was his argument. I wanted to be closer to home. I get it. If someone's going to pay me, $45 million more to play baseball, I'm going to probably take the $45 million more. I can accept that. Yeah. But when he first came to San Diego, his first game back with the Dodgers, of course he went to the Dodgers.
Of all teams,
every song they played when he went out to pitch was like money.
Well, yeah,
it was just every song, and then the
money.
Every time he went out to pitch, that's what they played. Yeah. It was hilarious. I enjoyed it.
See, that's fine because we had John Lackey, and John Lackey left for the Boston Red Sox for more money, and when he comes back, we definitely boo him. Also because he kind of said disparaging things about the Angels fans.
What did he say about Angels fans?
They said they weren't real fans. They were, they didn't cheer, they weren't loud, whatever.
The Angels Hamilton, fans that I know are quite amazing. Good people.
I haven't met a good one yet.
but with Josh Hamilton, it wasn't like he left for more money. That wasn't the reason he left. Texas wasn't offering him anything.
No, I think they were worried about him relapsing and stuff.
Yeah, but we have a similar situation where the organization let Torrey Hunter go,
right,
and the fans loved Torrey Hunter. So Torrey Hunter left. He's coming back to Anaheim next week, and I guarantee you he's going to get a standing ovation from the crowd.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's really funny. The Angels fans will cheer almost anyone that comes back, unless they left and just for more money. So like John Lackey.
But that turned out to be a good move for the Angels. Lackey's done nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. That guy's awful.
Yeah. Well, you were talking about how Josh Hamilton, you didn't like him because he played with Texas. I remember back in 1980, after the, I think it was the 82 season, Steve Garvey became a free agent. And I hate I hated Steve Garvey when I hate the Dodgers. I'm gonna be honest. I don't like the Dodgers. I don't root for them. I hate them. It's part of the rivalry. I just won't. I mean, I don't want anything, you know, like death or anything like that to happen to him. But you know,
broken collarbone, maybe.
Maybe, but I don't like him. And so everyone hated Steve. If you weren't a Dodger fan, you hated Steve Garvey because he was squeaky, you know, allegedly squeaky clean, and you know, and
he had like
he just, you know, he
18
just
18 different lovers and 70 different kids.
It happens, but when he came to the Padres, right away, okay, I became a fan. It's funny how I couldn't stand him on the Dodgers, but the minute he became a Padres, like, yes, Steve Garvey.
Well, it also helps because it's in the same situation where you're taking someone away from your interleague rival.
Yeah.
Your division rival, that is. So, like, that's also good. So now, not only do we have Josh Hamilton, who's, you know, arguably one of the best hitters in the game, but we took him away from our division rivals. So that's good.
And the next year, we took Goose Gossage from the Yankees.
Yeah.
Now, and people are like, wait, the Padres were able to outbid somebody?
Back when we had Ray Kroc as our
Ray Kroc as owner.
But he had all that McDonald's money. Yeah. On the spin.
Ray Kroc was the owner of the Padres?
He saved the Padres. Padres were going to Washington, D.C. in 1974, and he wanted to buy the Cubs, and he couldn't get the Cubs, and then when the Padres were going to he bought the Padres for like $12 million. And
kept them in San Diego.
Kept them in San Diego.
Yeah, he owned them until he died.
Yeah.
Wow.
He died in 1980. He didn't see him go to the World Series. He died in 1984.
Huh.
If you look on the side of their jerseys, it's R-A-K.
Ah.
Ray Aloysius Kroc. That's
cool.
His middle name.
That's cool. So what's the Padres record right now?
They have two wins.
So do the Angels. So, yeah, you're right.
They were ahead, yesterday. I 5-3 going to the eighth. They gave up two runs in the eighth. I went to bed, woke up this morning, checked it. They gave up two runs in the ninth. Lost 7-5.
Yeah.
Yesterday we got shut out by the Astros.
Wow.
The Astros.
5-0.
All right, you win. Your team sucks.
Yeah. And the thing that sucks is, I mean, yeah, the pitching is awful, but there's something going on with situational hitting. We just can't do it. I don't know what the number is, but we've left the most people on base, like in scoring situations, than anyone else.
Well, who's your rookie, Trout?
Yeah, Trout.
I know people were upset. I can't believe the Angels didn't give him a big raise. I said, I wouldn't. There's no reason to. I go, let him. I go, he could be a one-hit wonder.
Exactly.
If he has another good year, okay, then you can sign him to. But you don't have to give him the money.
No.
It's not like he's poor. He's making $500,000, whatever it is, $500,000.
He's got all kinds of sponsors too. He's for a 21-year-old, he's doing just fine.
Yeah.
When I was 21, I was making, I think, $6 an hour at Disneyland. So Mike Trout's fine. No one needs to worry about Mike Trout. And if he has a good year, he's doing okay so far. But I mean, if he has a good year this year, then you know, the will, you know,
the money
sign
will,
him on.
The money will come.
Yeah, but you know, people try to make stories out of nothing, and that Trout thing was one of them. Trout said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm happy," but it didn't help his manager, his agent was mouthing off about it.
Of course, the agent's upset.
Good.
We have a rookie called Jerko.
I think I saw Jerko play in the during spring training.
Because I kept trying to figure out his name. I go, what is his name?
I thought it was like Guy.
I kept calling him Gyoko. I kept calling him Gyoko.
Gyoko.
I couldn't figure it out. And then I was listening to
him. Ron's like, I feel bad for the guy. His name is Jerko. He's going to have so many jokes made about his name.
As long as he's successful, as long as he can hit, what cares?
He's making more money than I am, so I don't think.
Yeah. He's our top prospect. Well, he was supposed to be playing second base, but our best hitter got hurt in spring training, of course, Chase Headley. He'll be traded here soon anyway. But anyway.
Can he pitch? Hey, I'll take anybody at this point.
We have some pitchers. We have some pitchers we could probably trade you. We traded you a pitcher last year. How's he doing this year?
He's doing all right. right now he's a temporary closer because we acquired a closer, Ryan Matson, this year, and he's had Tommy John surgery. So he started off the year on the disabled list, so we don't even know how he's going to do. So, yeah, Ernesto Ferreri is doing it. We gave you Alessia Marista.
For him. He's like 4'5".
I love the little ninja. Yeah.
He's like, I think you can't even see him sometimes.
He's a good player, though.
He's a solid player, but he's like, I go, wow, really?
He's tiny, though.
He's
the strike zone does get adjusted for him.
They have to get his uniform in the kids section.
He's like in the eyes of the catcher when the catcher's squatting.
Yeah. You mentioned Tommy John surgery. Someone made because it seems like every pitcher for the Padres has to go to Tommy John surgery. They said, well, they should draft him, and right away just have give him Tommy John surgery. it's ridiculous.
Makes him stronger.
How many pitchers for the Padres have had Tommy John surgery?
I think every pitcher has by now. It's crazy.
That's why Tommy John should be in the Hall of Fame.
So,
yeah.
Ralph, you have Tonto Ted has been very busy. when do we finally get some official adventures of Tonto Ted?
I've been busy. It's kind of tough because I'm working on a comic. I have a new podcast.
Yeah, what's the new podcast?
The new podcast is pretty great.
not to toot my own horn.
The Tonto Ted thing, there's stuff I want to do with it so bad. I want to do a comic. I started to do comics. It would take like 8 hours to do one of those one-page comic strips.
Really?
Like, yeah, it was taking forever. So
I don't have the patience.
Neither did I. So what I planned on doing was doing a comic book about Tonto Ted where I'd like draw the backgrounds and then just put the action figure in front.
Uh-huh.
Take pictures that way. As soon as I can get some time to do that, I'll probably do that. I also have Tonto Ted on Vine, so there's a couple of Tonto Ted videos, and then the Facebook and the Twitter page. But I want to do more with him, but given I need just a little more time to be able to do that.
Well, I think I found a rival for Tonto Ted. It's I found at the flea market. It's a 80s knockoff Hulk Hogan figure of the same vein as Tonto Ted, and
Send me a picture of that, like...
I will.
Text it.
I will. I'm working on an Instagram picture that's going to start the rivalry with Tonto Ted, but...
You're actually going to tweet? I'm
trying to think of... I don't know if I want to call him fake Hulk Hogan or I got to come up with a neat name for him.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have it with you right now?
I don't. It's at my apartment.
It's under his pillow.
Let me ask you a question about that, because if you take a look at it, look somewhere on his body and see if the word Sun Gold is written on it.
There's no markings, because I was thinking Remco.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like even more of a knockoff than a Remco knockoff.
Yeah, I was trying to find out where Tonto Ted came from, and the only marking on it is on his foot, and it just says China. But there's a company called...
I'm guessing he came from
China. Yeah, there's a company called Sun Gold. And Sun Gold made knockoff Masters of the Universe figures. And the Tonto Ted body mold is the same as these Sun Gold figures. But I'm assuming this is a knockoff of that knockoff.
Yeah, it's... I'll bring up a picture to the... He looks like this.
Are you on Skype?
Or on the Ustream. I don't know if you have that up or not.
Is that when I was in Rocky?
Or hold on, I can... Yeah, I can't turn on video because the video is being used by.
Okay, hold on. Let me see.
What was his character in Rocky?
People at home, or I could just message it to you.
Thunderlips.
Thunderlips, that's right. Thank you.
All right, hold on. Let me.
Hold on, I'm just going to. For people at home. I'm going to text it to you. Hold on.
Yeah, I turned off the Ustream page because I was getting. I turned off the audio so I could see you guys, but then the commercials would pop up.
Oh, is that what you're talking about, commercials?
Yeah, they've added commercials to it now, which is kind of annoying.
Really? I'm not getting any commercials.
But I'm trying to think of if I want to call him Hulk Hogan or come up with an original name.
He's got to come up with a name.
This dude.
Calling him Hulk Hogan's weak.
Yeah, his body's a little bit different than Tonto Ted, but he does have the tiny feet.
And the legs aren't articulated either. It's solid piece, unlike the He-Man figures.
you got to come up with a good name or a really bad name. Like, he should have, like, either an epic name or you should have him be called, like...
I'm getting an ad.
Knockoff 80s wrestler.
Well, he's blonde, so I could call him Aaron the Aryan.
Aaron the Aryan.
Aryan Aaron. Aryan Aaron. That's his name.
I think this picture you can see is nuts. That's really awesome. I need to see. I was just driving by a swap meet today, and the thing is, I want to do the comic book, and I want to do like Flash Gordon, where it's like serialized.
Uh huh.
But I need other characters in the book, so I've been wanting to go to like swap meets and flea markets and stuff, and get some villains and get some, like, there's a toy line called Galaxy Warriors.
Yep, those are rare.
Yeah, but I think those are Sun Gold made those as well, and those are like Masters of the Universe knockoffs.
I thought Galaxy Warriors was Remco.
Oh, it might be. Sun Gold might be the knockoff.
Oh no, I think you're right. I think you're. It is Sun Gold. Either way, knockoff figures are fun, but I'll keep a lookout for it because I found that one. I was pretty stoked. It was a buck and a bin of figures, so.
Yeah, that's what I want to find. I want to find some good stuff. Because if anybody wants to follow Tonto Ted, it's at Tonto Ted. Whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
I think I am following him on Twitter.
This Caffery Your Johnson came with a good name, Bulk Bogan.
That's a good one. I like it.
Bulk Bogan.
I'm going to go to Twitter real quick and see if that's available.
Good point. Hold on.
Bulk Bogan 1.
As Bulk.
Nobody else take it.
Oh, someone has it.
Aww.
Stupid Corey with her 38 followers.
They should just give it to me.
Folk Fogan.
Folk Fogan?
Foe, like an F-E-A-U.
Foe Fogan?
Hulk Fogan. I don't know.
Folk.
Call him Michael David.
Call him Michael David. Foe. I like. Hogan. Foe Hogan. I like Foe Hogan.
Foe Hogan. Foe Hogan.
Foe Hogan.
Foe Hogan.
I will figure out something. But he's gonna be Tonto Ted's rival. That's what I've decided.
Sweet.
This is exciting. I can't.
Okay, you know what's excited about this? Here's the deal with Tonto Ted. It's really, really stupid. I tell you, every time I take a picture, it's hilarious and fun. The other day at work, we had a light box set up because we're doing product photography.
Uh-huh.
And I brought Ted with me because I knew we were doing that. And so my friend at work was taking pictures, and he was just laughing the whole time. Because it's really, really fun to take pictures of him.
I got to kiss him.
You did. There's a picture of him kissing him.
Yeah.
I have a picture of Tonto Ted at my wedding on my shoulder.
Yeah.
That's right, you do, yeah.
Anyone, so if you look at the people that Tonto Ted is following, all the people that Tonto Ted is following is the people that have taken pictures with him.
Nice.
So Ted will only follow you
if you've actually met him.
If you actually met him.
Well, it's been a couple of years since I actually had the privilege.
Was he not at the last meetup that we did?
No, it was 2 years ago at Comic Con. The one that Jorge was at Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Let's see, I'm looking through Tonto Ted's Instagrams right now, trying to find. There is my picture from my wedding night.
Yep, that's sweet.
On my shoulder. People at home, hold on.
You ever wanted me kissing him?
One of the best nights of my life. Marrying my lovely wife.
She's not paying attention.
She's not even paying attention, but.
One, two.
Who? We're talking about Tonto Ted.
Oh!
Colleen has kissed him.
Well, hold on a second.
I think there's a picture of you and Tonto Ted.
First?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Did I kiss him first? Okay.
Oh, there it is right there.
Yeah. Colleen may have kissed him first. Your wedding was the first trip he made.
Oh, I put a knife to his head. I didn't kiss him. I tried to kill him.
Oh, okay.
We were going to New York and Boston. That was 3 years ago. I was looking for my Tron action figure. I was going to take my Tron action figure and take him around to take pictures of different locations, like at Fenway and, State Building or whatever. And I couldn't find my Tron figure, but I found Tonto Ted in the bottom of the bin, of my toy bin. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm going to take Tonto Ted.
It's fine. We can't go back in. It's fine.
But I'm glad I found Tonto Ted, because, I mean, clearly Tonto Ted's amazing.
He is. An incredible individual.
I'm just happy I got to meet him.
If you notice, his nipple paint has worn off.
Well, you've been rubbing him too much.
Little Game of Thrones, huh?
But, follow Tonto Ted. He has real followers. I think that should be more.
And, Missy, I'm going to try and get Fogan as as my name. Let's see.
This is exciting.
So
what's the podcast going to be about? Can you tell us?
Well, we've already done 2 episodes. They're available on iTunes.
Okay.
It's called All Right, Let's Do a Podcast. And it stars me and my friend Kevin. Kevin, who was bugging me for a while about doing a podcast.
Does Kevin, before I go any further, does Kevin know the history of your podcast? Is he worried about being fired at all?
He's fine. He knows. He asked me. And I was kind of done with doing the podcast, and then I thought about maybe doing one with a rotating co-host and stuff. And,
yeah.
A couple weeks ago, he had mentioned it again. Hey, we should do a podcast. Like, I don't know, maybe, yeah, sure. And he started coming up with ideas and different things like that. And then it kind of planted a seed in my head where I started thinking, oh, you know what, maybe I don't mind doing a podcast. And so I sent him a text message that said, all right, let's do a podcast. And then I said, that should be the name of it. So that's what it is. It's called All Right, Let's Do a Podcast. It's kind of just about anything. It's more of like a ramble cast where there's not really a set theme.
Mm-hmm.
Certain nerds.
It's kind of like Lars.
Kind of, yeah.
Our ramble cast is scripted.
Lars is that me and Ben like a lot of the same things. So it would be easygoing, it would be shared interest. But with me and Kevin, we like very different things. So it's kind of a different take on it. If you go, you can follow us at All Right Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr. So if you just type in All Right Podcast in any of those, you'll be able to find us. But on our Facebook page, there is our cover photo has like a bunch of pictures of things that I like and things that Kevin likes. And you can kind of see differences in those. He likes wrestling. He likes Doctor Who.
You mean fake wrestling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ghostbusters, I like too, but he likes Sherlock, Star Trek, Hitchhiker's Guide. And then my side of things is Green Lantern, James Bond, Angels, Godzilla. So it's two different things. The one thing we do both like a lot is Star Wars, so that's where we come together.
Nice.
But WrestleMania was last week, and so our last 2 episodes, one was heavily focused on a preview of WrestleMania, and then the one we posted yesterday did a brief recap, and we also did a review of Evil Dead, the new Evil Dead film that came out. Which, by the way, if you're a fan of the Evil Dead movies, go see Evil Dead.
That's what I've heard. It's gotten really good reviews.
Dude, it is gnarly. It is. It's probably one of the grossest movies I've ever seen. But it's a lot of fun. And you know what? I wouldn't call it a remake.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to that, I think it's basically it's just the same cabin. It's just new people are in cabin.
That's awesome. Does Bruce Campbell make an appearance?
I think he's.
Or is that a spoiler alert? He's a producer on the film, yeah. But.
Yeah, he's a producer. It's the people who made it, Sam Raimi, Rob Tappert, and Bruce Campbell. They produced the original Evil Dead movies, Evil Dead, Evil Dead 2, and Army of Darkness. So it's at least made by the same people. It's a new director, and I thought the movie was really good. But Bruce Campbell, I would say, is not in the movie.
Okay.
I would also say, wait through the credits.
Okay. All right.
It's really weird, but the movie, it's so gross. It's so gross. Have you guys seen the Red Band trailer for it?
No.
All right. The grossest thing in the movie, the thing that's the most cringeworthy, is in that Red Band trailer. So deal with the Red Band trailer, you're good to watch the movie. But it's really gross. Really gross. Loved it.
Some more names is Bulk Bogan, Blondie Bulk, Royd Rogan.
Royd Rogan, I like Royd Rogan.
But actually, I already made my Twitter account for Faux Fogan. You can find it on Twitter right now, at Faux Fogan.
I'm not following him.
F-A-U-X Fogan. So be prepared, Tonto Ted.
You're going down.
Type me that the spelling.
I follow Tonto Ted as the first person he followed. Because he stalks his enemy.
So what else have you been up to?
I've been following Fofogan. Follower. Which breaks a rule, by the way.
What's breaking the rule?
Fofogan is the first person that Tonto Ted has followed that he has not met.
Oh. Because he knows. It's going to bring him pain.
But you know what? If you guys are going to San Diego, you got to bring him.
You hear that?
What's that?
You got to bring him to San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
You know Jay will forget.
So, yeah, nothing's been new other than the podcast. I'm working on the comic book with an artist named Kevin Stone, who's doing a bang-up job on the book. And he's probably listening right now.
So you have to say something nice about him?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a book I might have talked about it last year. We've been working on it for a while, but it's a little bit more of a complex story than I had kind of essentially what had happened was I was trying to track down artists for a comic book.
Right.
It was really tough, and then as soon as I would find somebody, then they'd kind of disappear on me. And so I was like really, really getting fed up. So I sent out a tweet saying, if there's any artists out there that want to do work on a project with me, let me know. I'm really anxious to do something. So Kevin sent me a message on Facebook, and I really didn't have a comic in mind on what to do. So what I did was I looked at Kevin's art and see where that fit into what ideas I had running around in my head. And so when I saw his art, I was like, oh, this is going to work perfect for a futuristic, like, kind of a detective story that I had in mind. I like the basic bones of what I wanted the story to be, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the story. And so I ran it by him, gave me a call. I discussed it. I just kind of gave him a, you know, one paragraph pitch, like, this is what I'm thinking. It's like Blade Runner, it's like Metropolis, but it's like a detective story. It's set in the future, and there's two different societies, and this is what happens. And he loved it, and I'm like, perfect, we're gonna work on a comic book. So what I always wanted to do is work on a comic book. And then I realized I have to write this. And so it kind of took me a while to lock down the story, because you have, like, we're doing it in seven books, seven issues. And I mean, I've never written a crime story before, and which means you have to come up with the crime, you have to come up with how the bad guys committed the crime, and then you have to like do kind of a reverse engineering on the story and make it so the detective who's, you know, you're following discovers things the same time as the audience does. It's kind of a mess. it's really, really tough to do, and I think it's, I was a little in over my head when we started it, but it took me a while to get the story locked down. Kevin put in ideas that are in the book that make it better. I wrote out a rough treatment on the 7 issues. He went through them. He looked at them. I wrote the first script. He went in, looked at the script, put down some notes, and it's just been like a really collaborative effort. Right now, he's in the middle of inking and coloring the book. We may be just a little bit over the halfway mark. I think a couple pages over the halfway mark, but it looks amazing. I can't wait. I can't wait to show everybody some sneak peek pages for the book. I think at one point I showed Jay. I think I showed Jay maybe a couple of the concept designs a while back. But the book looks amazing. It's like it's futuristic, but then also grungy at the same time. Hard to describe, but you'll see.
I'll put it up on the Ustream if you want to see.
Wait, we'll see what? No, don't show them. Don't show anybody.
Okay, no, you didn't see that. You didn't see that picture.
Yeah, can't see that picture.
That is not the picture you're looking at.
Yeah. But, yes, hopefully soon. Like I said, he's been scooting along pretty quickly on this. We're getting into the second, like pretty much the second half of the first issue is takes place in a world that's filled with a lot of detail. It's kind of like if anyone has seen Blade Runner, you know how like the city streets of Los Angeles are just, you know, covered in grime and neon lights and dirt and trash, and you know, it's overpopulated with people and stuff. That's kind of what the last half of this issue is going to look like. So I feel for Kevin right now, because when I write stuff, I can easily just say, oh yeah, it's like a Blade Runner city, and then the end, and then that I have to go in and you know, sweat and bleed hours over pages. But I mean, the results are amazing. The results are definitely amazing.
Is that going to be on Orange Circle Comics or?
Yeah, we're not really sure how we're going to promote it yet. Once the book is complete, I'm going to shop it around to Image Comics, Dark Horse Comics, Oni Press, a couple of indie comic places, to see if we can't get them to publish it. There's also a way that Comixology, who I don't know if for those of you that have like Android tablets, Kindles, iPads, Comixology is the number one app for comics, for buying comics online, and you can read them right there on your iPad or whatever. They recently just released a submit process where creators can submit their work, similar to that someone could submit their work to or their music to iTunes.
Oh, nice.
They can do this now with the comics. So if for some reason those don't get picked up, we'll definitely go through Comixology. And I need to discuss that with Kevin more, but I think if we do go that route, I would like to see taking any kind of profits from that and creating like a hardcover for all 7 issues for people to buy online. But I'm about 90% positive that we'll be able to get someone to publish it. I kind of would like to go through Oni Press or Image. So we'll see. I'll definitely keep you guys updated. And Orange Circle Comics is where I go, where I've been you know, kind of posting updates for any project that I'm working on, talk to TED books, stuff like that.
Nice. Very nice.
And how long does it take to do 7 issues?
We're not sure yet. The tough, well, I started working with Kevin not last November, but the November before. That's when we first got in touch. So I think the majority of that time was spent coming up with the complete story, creating the characters. While I was coming up with characters and, you know, plot lines and just general timelines, Kevin was doing character designs, city concepts, flying car concepts, just different, you know, location concept artwork and stuff. So it was more the process, the majority of the process was, you know, building this world. The actual, I think it took me about a month to write the first issue. It could probably take me a lot less now to write, because the scripts are kind of a shorthand. When me and Kevin, you know, we spent almost a year just like seeing the story and going over all, you know, going over the whole 7 issue story arc. That when I wrote the actual script, I didn't have to describe it too much. So if I say they're in City A, he already knows what that looks like because he's already done artwork for it. So I don't have to describe that stuff. And he's better at drawing than I am describing. So if I say, you know, we're at so-and-so's house, I can, he got to that point in the script and sent me a text message. He's like, hey, what does the house look like? I said, and I just threw out a couple of ideas, and he said, okay, I think I know what you're going for. He sent me a thumbnail sketch of the house, and it was perfect. That's
nice.
It. So there's kind of a shorthand in the writing. So the writing will probably take about, I'd say a month, at the most, from the time I start actually writing to the time we get through a couple drafts. I think there's 4 drafts of the first issue script. And then the drawing, I'm not sure how long that takes. I don't know. The drawing is like it's a weird process, because he does, I saw the whole book in thumbnail form, which is like little picture sketches, and it looked awesome already. And then after that, he did the full page pencils. So the full page done in pencils. And now he's in the process of taking those pages and pencils and adding the inks and then the colors. And then after that, we put in the letters, and then we pretty much have a comic book.
Nice.
But yeah, it's an interesting project. It's a process. It's, yeah.
Seem like a lot of work, though.
It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, and for me, like, just doing those Tonto Ted comics where it would take me 8 hours to do one, you know, page of, like, 4 panels, and it doesn't look good. take that long, I would definitely not be able to do what Kevin's doing. His art is so intricate, it's insane, the amount of detail. And for me, I wouldn't be able to handle it, because he, not only does he have to draw it, he has to go back and then ink it, and then he has to go back and color it. It's like, it's, you know, after doing the thumbnails. So he works on each page at least 4 times.
Man.
And I don't think I could do that. I really don't.
Or hope you pay him well in podcast money.
Yeah, right now neither of us has made a dime off of it. So everyone keep your fingers crossed that we get like Image or someone to pick it up. But I'm like I said, I'm 90% positive that we're going to pick up a publisher.
That's great.
Well, I'll be one of the first to pick up the issue, I'll tell you that much.
Cool. Yeah.
Don't know about Fofogan, you know, now.
I'll send you guys a PDF of it, just so you can see it ahead of time. But yeah, anyone who wants to buy it, stay tuned to Orange Circle Comics. You can go to orangecirclecomics.com, and you'll find our Facebook and Twitter and stuff. But yeah, oh my gosh, so excited about that. Really excited about it. I'll tell you what, Jay. I'm gonna send you a page right now that's been colored.
Okay.
I'm gonna send a text.
Don't show it to anybody else, though.
I will not show it to anyone. I'll just look at it, and then you at home can judge it by my reaction.
Show it to Jack.
Wow. I moved up.
Show it to, you could show it to anybody who's, there. Tell who's there. Oh. I remember Kevin is listening to this, so.
Okay.
Your reaction should be
really good.
Very good.
Hold on.
Yeah, let me. I'm going to send you 3 pages.
I'm still looking at my Faux Fogan picture that I sent you.
You're in love with that Faux Fogan, aren't you?
My Faux Fogan, the head sculpt's a little bit softer than this one. This one's.
Mine's I'm sending pages. And I know Kevin's listening, so I'm going to tell Kevin which pages I sent you guys. Let's see here. I'm sending page 1.
Okay.
Sending page, hold on. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
We can hear him counting quietly.
Page 13. Page 5.
Okay.
13 and 5.
No, it's 1.
I'm sorry. 1, 13, 13
and 5.
And 5. Pages.
4, 8, 2. So I didn't really clarify earlier, but yes, I did run the whole time, all 4 laps, which are about 1/4 mile each. And Jack ran maybe 10 seconds of all the laps that he had to take.
No, I ran probably about half a lap.
All right, here we go.
I'll send you page 6 as well.
Oh, and 6. Still not one of the numbers.
That looks really good.
Better than my stick figures. That's nice.
That's so good.
So I like the colors.
Pages. Yeah. Yeah, Kevin did everything. He did the pencils, he did the inks and the colors. So this is, it's a detective in the future.
The cityscapes look really cool.
Yeah.
I wish I had talent.
People at home are like, what are they seeing?
I've always wanted to be able to draw and I can't.
Oh, dang, that looks cool. Was this said the last page is page 6?
Yeah, that's the city.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
The book is called New Olympus, and it takes place, the last picture I showed you.
You guys at home listening, you're going to like it.
Yeah, so you can show the people that are there at Iceplex. I don't mind that.
Oh, okay. People at the Iceplex, if you want to see it.
We have spies here, though.
Well, I can murder spies. That's easy.
Ooh. A couple Ranger fans, I think.
People are coming up and looking now.
No Ranger fans. I'm trying to.
It's like show and tell at school.
But it looks great. Looks really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for you guys to see more. That's the nice city. That's the pleasant city. Is that that's New Olympus? There's another city called Old Olympus, which is very different.
What I like about it is you're doing both, like a futuristic world where it's all nice and shiny and pretty, and then a futuristic world where it's kind of dingy.
Yeah, what essentially happened was I like the movie Blade Runner.
Uh-huh.
A lot. Love the movie Blade Runner, but I remember seeing it when I was young, and I didn't like it when I was young because it's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be Harrison Ford, you know, it was going to be Han Solo and Indiana Jones running around in the future, flying in cars and shooting his gun at robots.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different. It's a good movie, but it's not that movie. So I always wanted to have that movie where it's, you know, a detective in the future with flying cars, with a gun shooting robots. I don't think there's any robots in the book, but I think it's going to be a little more action heavy than Blade Runner. And then there's also a mix of Metropolis in there, where you have the rich elite and then you have the poor workers who live underground. This book is along those lines of it's very much Blade Runner meets Metropolis. So
nice.
Like it. You'll like it. I've I said, we've been working on it for about 1.5 years, and I'm just as excited about it now as I was when we first started working on it.
Well, that's good to see, because I've been a fan of Ralph's work for a long time, but he's never actually published it, so I can't wait for you to finally have something out there.
You know, what's funny is the other night Stevie had asked me, she's like, have you ever thought about adapting Casualty Friday into a comic? So that may happen as well.
I love Casualty Friday, so.
Is that the PDF that you sent me back in, like, 2007?
Your mic's not turned on. Go ahead now.
Is Casual Friday, or is it, like, the Cricket, or what's the one that is the PDF that you sent me in 2007 or 2008?
Oh, shit. Probably Casualty Friday. It was the third movie that takes place in an office building.
Right.
That must be it, then. That must be it. That's from, like, forever ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I never did anything with that. But I think I might be able to adapt it into a comic, but I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be fun. Because especially, like, the visuals that you kind of wrote about in it, I think would translate well to comics.
Yeah. My favorite part in that whole book is, I don't even know if they still have overhead projectors anymore, but one of the creatures landed on an overhead projector and the guy was beating the creature with an axe, but then you see, like, the blood rushing down on the wall.
I remember that.
Because the projector. The nunchucks. The nunchucks.
The stapler nunchucks. Awesome. So
I really like it. I'm going to adapt that.
Good.
I adapt that. Really liked it.
Good.
Yeah. We'll look at that in 3 years.
And that's what you listened to the last podcast for, was writing all that stuff, so.
During the time I wrote that script, I was listening to you, Scott and Steve, or Jen and Ryan.
So don't let our podcasts go in vain, okay?
Oh, no. No way.
Okay.
And you know what's funny is Kevin, who's doing the artwork for New Olympus, he knows me because of Dharma Wars.
Oh, really? So yeah, he does know your history then of firing.
So fire. He should be a little worried.
Actually, he had mentioned that he asked if you guys were going to talk about me firing people.
Of course.
It's a tradition, just as deep as the tradition of doing this podcast.
I told them, they'll probably make fun of Wrath of Khan as well.
No, I have to.
I wasn't even going to bring it up, but...
I wasn't going to bring it, because I feel bad. Are you still afraid to watch that movie?
No, I just don't like it.
I love Wrath of Khan.
God! How do you not like it?
This may be a conversation for my new podcast. But here's why I don't. At no point is there dramatic tension. Every time Khan does something to the crew of the Enterprise, they easily escape or one-up him. Like, he tries to, like, outwit him, like, three times and never does. There's, like, no drama behind that.
He, like, severely damaged the Enterprise and Spock died. I mean,
they put things in his ear, people's ears.
That's what scared me when I was a kid.
Remember my complaint, though, is Chekhov is not... Because it's from an episode from the original series. Chekhov is not in that episode. Who's the first person sees Khan? Chekhov.
Well, he's heard about him.
I'm sorry.
It was legendary.
Was he did he go to the post office and see his picture? There's Khan's picture on the...
No, like Kirk told him about it in one of his stories.
Kirk never even talked to Chekhov.
Oh, poor Chekhov.
He didn't. He didn't talk to him. And there's another part where the Enterprise gets away. Khan dies before he sees the Enterprise get away. He should see the Enterprise getting away, then go no, and then he blows up.
No.
So my two biggest complaints: that Chekhov wasn't in the original one, and Khan should have seen the Enterprise get away. He went to his grave thinking that he had killed Kirk.
But you gotta give him something. I mean,
no,
the guy,
I'm sorry.
Because I can sympathize with Khan. You know, I mean, he was this genetically perfected human, and all he wanted to do was just conquer the world. And
weren't you a John Locke fan?
He's Ahab. Oh yeah, it's definitely Ahab.
But
what was my argument about
Man in Black just wanted to get off the island? You always said it was
Man in Black was a jerk. Okay?
No, just all he wanted to do, he got a raw deal. Wouldn't you agree, Ralph?
Yeah.
Ralph's like, I can't believe they're still arguing about this like 10 years later.
I will take that to my grave. Take that to my grave.
Let's see once. And it was like 4 years ago.
Really?
The lost it in 4 years ago, did it? Three years ago. There we go.
Coming up on four?
It'll be four. Well, no, because right? Colin and I were engaged before. So it'll be four next year. It's coming through its third year right now, this year. Lost ended.
Process C once.
Yeah. So are you going to be at Comic-Con this year?
I might do the same thing I did last year.
Just like show up and enjoy the outside stuff?
Yeah, show up for one day. But we'll see. You know what happens. I mean, if Fogan's going to be there, I'll definitely show up.
Fogan, match of the century on paper Instagram.
Is it going to be like when The Rock did his thing, the wrestling thing was like $79 for to pay for it? You see that?
Yeah. Oh, you know what we should do, Ralph, is find one of those old WWF like wrestling rings, like from the 90s or something. And
that's old? From the 90s?
Early 90s, I had it. But...
Like 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's over 20 years ago.
All right. All right.
Lest you forget, you're old.
I know. That's what I'm saying. 20 years. Wow.
Anyway.
So, are you going to do it? Are you going to have the...
What? That's what I'm saying. It's the showdown of the century. Whenever the day you're coming up from Comic-Con.
The showdown of the century.
Fogan versus Tonto Ted.
Okay, here's what has to happen. There has to be a lot of smack talking. Up until then.
Oh yeah. I'm not very creative, so I have to have Colleen write my snappy comments.
$9 pay per view. The payoff is going to be totally lame.
Exactly.
Is it okay if I don't show up?
You have to show up. That's
I have to show
the,
up.
Yeah.
Man.
Who's going to be the ref? You're the only person that's verified the ref.
It's wrestling.
Okay.
Are there rules? Are there rules in wrestling?
Well, this isn't wrestling. I mean, this is a SmackDown.
SmackDown. Sorry. Okay, I'll referee it. I'll bring my official sweater.
Fofogan Tonto 10 2013. That's what it is.
Wow. For you people that didn't get Comic-Con tickets, I bet you're disappointed.
We'll rent out a...
Another reason I'm mad I didn't get my Comic-Con tickets.
We'll have it at the Jay and Jack meetup. We'll have, like, that'll be the...
Also, they'll be drinking there. Okay, it'll be interesting.
Make sure you bring your Woman's Foot Locker shirt, Jack.
I will do that.
You have to tell that story now.
It's gonna be great.
I can't wait.
I just gotta figure out a way to make a little folding chair for Bo Fogan to hold.
You're gonna have like a little ice pack there, a little.
Or so you can slam with the folding chair.
You're gonna have like in Rocky where he always said, "Get away from him." That was his line in every movie. Then he became Rocky's trainer and said the same thing.
Yep, but then he died.
Yeah.
If he dies, he dies.
It was another complaint I had from Rocky.
All right, anyhow.
I don't like to complain.
Anyhow. Ralph, we're wrapping up here. Is there anything else you would like to say before we close out?
If you guys want to hear me on a podcast again, check out All Right Podcasts. See my internet.
Is it on iTunes?
It is.
It's searchable and everything.
If I search right. Ralph D. Apple, will it show up?
No, because I think the author of the podcast is Ralph and Kevin, so you might run into Hollywood Babylon.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. I'm going to do a quick search. All right. Here, I'm going to type in. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of people in the audience that have already subscribed to said podcast. The beauty of the iPhone and not the Galaxy Nexus 7.
A few
aren't
subscribed, didn't
they? Oh, did I say that? I'm sorry.
Type in All Right Podcast in iTunes, you will find it.
All right.
All right, Ralph, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. We look forward to seeing you in San Diego and be prepared for Phil Fogan. He's a mean mother
trucker. Let's get ready to rumble.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's swear, so you might want to watch out.
Oh, man. All right, Ralph, thank you so much.
Sure, guys.
All right, bye.
Woo! 3 hours then.